Hey, on this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are drinking some Dovetailed Kolsch as we eat our Alliance Punschkis and talk about our week of drinking and shoveling out our cars. All that more on this episode.
Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And, it's Fat Tuesday.
It's Fat Tuesday slash, what is it? What's after Fat Tuesday? Is it Ash Wednesday?
Ash Wednesday, yeah.
Okay.
We got Punschkis and Kolsch. Seems like the way to go, right?
Right on, man. Now, you introduced me to the rose-flavored Punschki last year.
Yeah.
Which was new to me, and it's instant fave, the rose.
Right, so we have the rose, and then we have the blueberry lemon.
Oh, okay. So I think we're doing all right.
Yeah, I already had an apple, and then also had a chocolate ganache one.
Yeah. Now, Punschki is plural.
Yeah.
If you got one, it's like a different.
Punschkis?
No.
You can't have keys. They're keys. Moose keys. Punschkis.
Oh, I got nothing. Because I can't pronounce how you say it with the other way. So I'm just glad they're Punschkis, man.
Mm-hmm. So I picked these up from Alliance. Definitely one of my favorite spots to get them. I've had them at a few others. You know, everyone's got their favorite Punschki location.
For sure. And we got some fancy cups here from Dovetail.
Mm-hmm. We got the little Kolsch cups.
It's like a little beaker.
Mm-hmm. So, eating basically donuts and trying to do a podcast is not working.
It's not working so far. First 90 seconds in.
It's way too dense.
You know, we got some issues. But there's the Dovetail crest on the beaker. And and the Dovetail Kolsch.
Mm-hmm. And then they have, when you get this like little special four pack, you get two glasses, and the four pack comes with the like crest style Kolsch glass or can. So it's a little different than their just like default yellow sticker can.
Now it's a Kolsch served in a traditional 200 milliliter Stange glass, if I'm saying that right. So that's what this is.
Okay.
I don't want to keep calling it a beaker. It all looks like that. What's the name of this glass? Usually 6.8 ounces, these little glasses. Man, they're so cute.
They're super cute, but at the same time, if you're at home with these glasses, it's kind of annoying. They're just like bigger tasting glasses, right?
Yeah. You're going in you're going in 2.5 times if you got a 16-ounce can.
Right. So that seems like a lot of work for the can. Like, I'll just drink it out of the can, right?
I mean, but it's not as fun. You can't admire the clarity.
Yeah.
Of the Kolsch.
It is. Like, you know? Beautiful looking beer.
Yeah. Fantastic. Just a little perfumey, you know, not too much. And just easy and slightly bitter and delicious.
Mm-hmm. I think it goes well with the Punschkis that sort of just like washes away. It's almost like drinking water. Like, oh yeah, nice refreshing taste. And these were pretty. Oh, these were canned in November, so it's been a little while.
But you know the beauty of that style. Now, we were saying this a couple of weeks ago. I didn't realize that a Kolsch, it was not a lager. It's, you know, because it uses ale yeast, and it's just, you know, it's conditioned like a lager at cold temperatures, but it's not using lager yeast. I have to admit, I didn't fucking know that, Brad.
Right, so it's lager that's an ale.
It's a hybrid, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And then Because who's making a Kolsch? Well, Metro obviously has a Kolsch.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, I might be wrong, but wasn't Goose Summertime a Kolsch? They don't make it anymore, but...
It was a Kolsch, and then it became just a summer ale. Like, it I think they stopped calling it a Kolsch. It came back. I thought it came back.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's hard to keep up with, you know, with the name, not the name changes, but all the changes in the graphics mm-hmm. of the cans. It's like, I don't fucking know what's what anymore. Yeah. I know there's no Honkers. Is there Honkers? Are they making Honkers here yet?
No, I don't think so.
They need to have Honkers.
But I don't know, like, something about eating punch keys and drinking Dovetail Kolsch feels very Chicago.
Oh, dude.
Like, I don't know, like, do we get more Chicago than that? Because we had, like... What are we missing? We're missing something. I guess we're drinking Old Style, maybe, but this feels like, you know.
You know, if we had some Tavern Cut pizza over,
yeah,
over in the corner
pizza.
There, you know.
But I don't know. This beer is great. I mean, I know we've had our first time we dove into the Dovetail cans, we weren't feeling them. But these are great, and I also picked up the lager. It's called lager. And
there
that and that one is tasting great. I think I have one can left, and... It's basically everything I want at night when it's like after work. It's like, all right, like 5 o'clock. Let's just do this now and, you know, wrap up the day or whatever.
You got the 4-pack, but two of these cans are red.
Right.
With the crest on it.
That's what I was saying. You get two of the crest style cans.
Oh, okay.
But I believe it's the same beer.
Yeah, I mean, it says it's the same.
Yeah.
Dovetail, love your city. Those two guys... I've been on that tour before. They have they went to the Bavarian hillside, and they have their water tank is an actual like copper tank from like Weinstephanen, like the world's oldest brewery. They found it split in half. They had it shipped over just so they could use it as a water tank, and they replicate different water temperatures and like flavor profiles with they got machinery that adjusts the water so that it. Water can replicate, you know, from Cologne if they're making this style, or you know, just straight up American Chicago tap water if they're making another style.
Okay,
you know, that's the first time I've seen that. Where you're like, hey, we got this machine that replicates water from different parts of the world, you know, mineral makeup, that sort of thing.
And they have a cool ship.
Do have a cool ship upstairs in their next to their barrel room. As far as I know, that's the only one I've seen in Chicago. There's probably others. I haven't seen them.
I think the last time I was there was when we were there. Or, no, the last time I was there was...
Well, you went for these. And,
oh, yeah, but, like, to actually, like, hang out and drink there.
We hung out and we had a little booth by the window.
Yeah. Did we go upstairs, too? Or maybe that was a different... Maybe there was another time I went there. But, yeah, I don't know. I kind of miss hanging out there.
Yeah.
And the Guile, because you got to do them both, like, back to back.
Having that 1-2-step... Yeah, popping in after work for a pair at both of those.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind doing that again.
Yeah. When I did pick these up from Dovetail, I did go over to Beguile and get some beers there as well. Ducks.
Beguile, home of the Stouty beers?
Yeah. Ducks Fly Together. It's dry hop American lager. And it's good.
Okay.
And the cans are fun now because they have sort of like Dovetail. They're tall boy, but like Dovetail does, they write them like vertical. So, and they make for some like fun pictures that look different.
Yeah. Because nice. We need that. We're posting like every single day.
I know.
So we need that.
All these pictures look the same. A beer next to a glass. How many different ways can I show this?
Yeah. Oh, man. I was a little in a funk, but these glasses are making me do the shimmy.
Okay. Nice.
I'm a little happier. I mean, fancy cups, man. I'm a simple guy. You put a fancy cup in front of me, I'm like instantly happy.
I know. And then you also have, you brought us other fancy cups, right?
Yeah, man. From the good folks at the Revolution, care package of Freedom Session Sours, man. So they came with some limited glassware. And we might have talked about the Session Sour Pack before. They're all 4.5%. They're nice, right?
No, these cups. Nice.
4.5%. Let's see if we can name them all. This is the Freedom series. So freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of press, and freedom of assembly.
Okay. And, I've only had expression and speech.
Yeah.
May I have press? I don't know.
Freedom of Expression was the I Am Craft Beer one.
Okay.
That I had that. So, you know, honestly, and, you know, we could take these out and look at them, but the cans, I get it. You have to brand the can. The can looks just like the box.
Okay.
You know, it's got the eagle, and then it's got a smaller replica of the Talon grabbing whatever fruits in the beer. But on the Tallboy cans, it was so, it had this deep colors on them, you know? Okay. The deep, deep colors and that huge Talon and the huge thing of fruit. It just looked cooler on a big can.
So these look more like almost the Fist City kind of cans, yeah, right? Like a little, yeah, more white and plain.
It's got, yeah, it's not, the darkest color isn't the most dominant color. There's more white on the cans, yeah.
Okay.
So, which, I get it. You had to do that if you're branding it and making it. I wouldn't want, what is it? I wouldn't want 12 tall boys, but in the 12 ounce variety, I mean, I've been drinking them a lot lately. They just kind of work.
Yeah, 4.5%. That's kind of nice. Kind of like makes you wish for summer. Like we're drinking this 4.6 beer and we're buried in like, isn't it like 3 feet of snow?
It's fucking bullshit, man.
It's a lot of snow.
I'm so sick of this shit, dude.
Usually it's March when everyone's sick of the winter, but it's hitting everyone pretty hard here in February. You know,
what are you gonna do? This is why we live here. Wow, but the summer's gonna be so great.
I guess, yeah, as long as the beaches aren't closed, then
you know.
I was drinking a Rosa I found in the back of the fridge.
Were you now?
Yeah,
that's your favorite.
All right, I wasn't drinking it. I had like two sips, and every time I'd be like, ugh.
It falls apart after like the third sip. It falls apart, man.
Honestly, I picked it, one, because I wanted to feel like it was summertime, and because I didn't want to open something else that I knew I'd feel mildly bad about dumping out, because it was like, I don't know, 10, 11 o'clock. I still had some stuff to do. And I was like, I just need something else that's not water right now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was drinking Rosa. And every time Maeve would hear me go,
as much shit as we talk about Rosa, and we do talk a lot of shit about Rosa, it's the precursor to what I think they got right with the sour stuff.
Yeah, I think the sours are right. I was thinking about Rosa as I was, you know, as I was drinking it, many thoughts. But I was thinking, this beer probably failed this year, like real hard. I know, I know people love that beer, but that same group, there's a group of people that like that beer.
There's some Rosa enthusiasts out there.
But the group of people that like that beer probably went to the Claw. Mm. And without like backyard fun or beaches,
restaurants.
I don't know if Rosa sold that well, and people would have been like, "Well, I'll just pick up one of these seltzers,
yeah,
and be at home." Like,
you know, they, you know, the Revolution, you know, they throw stuff at the wall a lot, and if it doesn't work, they'll tell you in a minute. Like they had a Kolsch. It was what is it, Ghost Ride?
Yeah,
and they're like, "Hey, you know, there's a couple of." There's a couple groups of old men out here that really dig this beer, but overall,
and they're now at Dovetail.
They all went to Dovetail, so we quit making it, right? So I mean, you know, they're quick to like, hey, we will adjust if the shit's not working out, mm-hmm. And they're transparent. So I'm kind of curious if we ask them, like, hey, where does Rosa rank in your annual sales? I feel like they would give us some insight.
I was just feeling as I was drinking this beer probably didn't work this past year very well for them. Like it probably sucked because they had planned for it to work. They probably bought a lot of cans, so they had to like
a bunch of those Rosa pens, for your lapel.
Yeah, so they probably had to roll it out pretty hard just because they had to. And so
all they were missing, if they'd have put it in this little in this little fancy cup with the crest on it.
Yeah.
And give you hit with 6.8 ounces.
There you go.
I think Rosa has a different story to tell at that point.
So. Nice. So, yeah, we got the sours. Did you pick up anything else? You drink anything else fun
this
week?
What did I do, man? No. Drank a bunch of sours. And then, I didn't, it was guilt-free, you know. drank a little.
They were guilt free.
They were guilt free. Like, you know, you can get up, you can have one, make some breakfast. You know, because usually if I wake up on the weekends and I have a beer with breakfast, you know, that leads to another beer, you know, and then if that's two IPAs, you know, I'm ready to, like, you know, kick my feet up and maybe, you know, doze off on the couch and watch something. But not with these, you know, I can still enjoy my day and not be all drowsy.
Okay.
But, I talked to Andy Crouch this weekend, man. What is Andy Crouch's name? Well, he's a Chicagoan that moved to Boston, and he does a show with John Hall. No relation. His name's H-O-L-L.
Okay.
So they got the show called The Beer Head. So I talked to him for a couple hours this week.
Nice.
And he was talking about all his favorite Boston spots, and I think he was just trying to figure out, like, hey, what's going on in Chicago? You know, what's the pivot? What are you drinking? Where are you drinking it? How is the crisis there? So he's just going around hanging out with folks.
Just trying to see how the pandemic shifted drinking culture.
Yeah, so that was fun. Because I met him maybe like 10 or so years ago, maybe like at Dark Lord Day or something. And I know he's a lawyer by day, but I think he wrote for like Beer Advocate at one point. And he's always, you know, he's a noted curmudgeon on the beer Twitter. So that was fun. I mean, when it was on Zoom, so I had, you know, got to hang out. It felt like I was hanging out with him.
How do you feel like drinking in Chicago has changed, or what do you think people are doing differently?
Man, I think what I was saying was, you know, because I'm like, because I talked about our show, and I talked about how I
nice
was.
Job. You got to plug it.
I talked about how I didn't expect to be surprised. I was surprised at how often I got excited about the classics.
Okay.
Like if you bring in like a Bell's, you brought in a brown ale at one point, you know, or like really it's part being excited about the classics and then just having a low tolerance for new shit. So if I got this new beer with all these adjuncts in it and by the third sip, you know, we're dumping it. I'm at home. I'm stressed out. I just want something to move me out of that space.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to fuck around with some new shit. If I don't like it, I'm dumping it. So you find yourself just gravitating towards, you know, where's the Claire's Thirsty Ale? You know, where these Session Sours, you know,
yeah.
Or like, you know, I think we talked about Hopslam. Or just kind of revisiting stuff I hadn't had from crews that I can believe in,
yeah.
As opposed to trying new shit all the time.
I think that makes sense, especially even if you saw food in the pandemic. In the beginning, people were like, oh, wanting like those comfort foods like mac and cheese and fried chicken and just like meatloaf, like things that are like you either had as a kid or you like, they make you feel a certain way.
You need that.
And so I think, yeah, the Kolsch, like this does, it makes me feel like I'm drinking beer at a bar.
Yeah.
Like, even though we're not, but it makes me, my mind feels like, oh, this is beer I would drink when I'm out drinking. This isn't a home beer.
Yeah. I have that excitement about this beer. Mm-hmm. So we talked about that and, you know, what gets you excited. And I was talking about those subcultures in beer, like the ones like Shalon is in.
Yeah.
You know, and how that's pretty exciting. And how beer's kind of lost its innocence and how some of real life is actually tapping into beer. You know, how people lean into you and talk about some of their discomforts off the record about, like, you know, shit that they experienced while they were working for brewmasters and shit like that.
Yeah.
Started to talk about that a little bit. It was a good talk.
Mm-hmm.
So, other than that and drinking, like, a ton of these Session Sours, I want to say that's kind of all I did this week, man.
The only other thing I would say that maybe changed or how people drink, I know our buddy Sergio, he will often pick up beer from one different brewery or maybe like two breweries in the nearby each week or every month. So I'd be like, he'll go and get like his supplies.
Yeah.
And I feel like people do that more. Like, okay, well, me going somewhere is a bigger deal and has been for the last year. So I'm going to like either stock up or that will be my place for this week or this month, where you used to like bar hop or brewery hop, you're like, oh, I'm gonna check this one out, and then, you know what, I'll drive another 10 miles if I'm in the suburbs and run over here too. But you're not gonna do that now.
That's very true. I can remember last February or whatever, I ended up at Ike and Oak out in wherever that is, Woodbridge or whatever, and that's not something I would do in a pandemic, you know, end up in like fucking Westmont or wherever the fuck, you know. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go to the nearest Benny's, you know, I'm gonna slide through Half Acre. And, you know, That's going to be the end of that, bud. Right? It's a very short list. The list is super short now. Yeah. Even if I wanted to.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't.
So I think it's probably a lot more focused drinking. And it's making sure you support the ones you want it to, like, not go away. And so, but it's, you know, we're coming closer to an end, so maybe it's changing a little bit.
You know what? You know what came up was a question was asked during that show about the Chicago and, you know, the influx of breweries between, you know, 2015 and 2018. There was a huge influx around that time. And really, 2010, you can go back to 2010, really, and just see it. But, you know, I think some of it had to do with the Daley administration and Rahm getting in office. But then, I don't know if you remember, we had Burn City on the show. And I brought that up. Why do you think so many breweries are here? And I'm like, it seemed to happen when Rahm was in office. And the first thing he said was, don't give him credit for that. Mm. You know, which, you know, I'm cool with that. You know. But now I'm back to the drawing board. Like, well, what was it about, other than a change in local administration, what was it about Chicago in 2015, 16 that led to this boom? You know, like, and that was a question that came up. You know, because you can only take the Goose thing so far, right? Like, Goose, the guys at Goose kind of disbanded. You got, like, four breweries out of that.
Yeah.
Right? But then other than that, what was it, you know?
I don't know. It's tough. Like, you know, no one likes the Chicago mayor ever. So giving them credit is tough. But I would think, like, not that it was, it went away, but I feel like the Chicago pride, I think when Trump kind of came into office and like got there because he hated Chicago and would shit on it so much, it became like stronger and like it was building. And so,
yeah, civic pride is always high. Yeah. Dare I say it was higher during that time. And then the story I kept hearing about in the papers or whatever was like, you know, the water was the reason all of a sudden, you know, like, oh, we got access to this big body of fresh water.
Yeah, I think there was like a little bit of a underlining tone or like thought of like, if some shit goes down, there's Lake Michigan. Like, I always think that, like, well, where am I going to move to? Or if I moved, where would I move to? Like, Well, I'm not going to move to Arizona. Well, for many reasons, but there's like no water. If some shit happens, we're out of water.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm right here. And we, Chicago can like control that water. Like, you want to mess with us?
Yeah, we got a huge freshwater supply.
Shut it off.
It's not like the ocean. We got to turn these things off from beeping around here, man. It's not like the ocean where, you know, you can't, like Lagunitas is, you know, on the West Coast, and they can't use, you can't use water from the ocean because you got to do too much to it.
Right.
Chicago, you know, you kind of boil this water. And you're pretty much ready to rock.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more than that, but you know, not a whole lot.
So you know, it could have been that. But if it was just that, wouldn't you have seen a boom in Indiana, Wisconsin, and Michigan? Like,
right.
What was it like?
So it's kind of
that, you know, we never saw Floyd's come in here because it's so damn expensive. So it wasn't the water.
Right, so here we are again. I'm just kind of circling back, and I'm just like, I can't tell you what specifically led to that, but I do know, like, you know, whether it was your, you know, your Dovetails, or your Beguiles, or your fucking who were we just drinking? Oh, even like Burn City,
yeah.
You know, all this stuff came online around, you know, between 2012 and we say 2016, 2017.
Yeah, I think it was
Forbidden Root. All this stuff.
I think
came
it was the hyper local push, like lower footprint. Like I'm gonna support the people here because my money goes here. I think it was just a lot of like hyper local, and that was probably everywhere where everyone started supporting their home team.
That's true. I imagine this was in line with the growth in other towns.
Right. And Chicago just had breweries that were under, we didn't have enough breweries for the people.
Yeah. It's a city of neighborhoods, you know, I think some of it is that. And then, you know, the population in Chicago is around 3 million. You count the burbs, we get up to 8 million.
Right.
So a lot of people, a lot of those breweries are suburban breweries. You know, that boom wasn't just in city limits. That boom was like regional, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. it was an interesting conversation because from an outsider's view, it's like, well, what happened?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, shit. I don't know if it was one thing. I think we all just, it just started happening. And there's more to it than that, but we're still a little undecided on what exactly it is.
Yeah, it's tough to, what was the one thing that helped explode Chicago breweries? It was probably also seeing people saw success in Revolution and like, oh, they went from guy owning a vegetarian bar restaurant.
Like a handlebar, yeah.
To rivaling Goose Island.
Yeah.
In Chicago. So it's like, I can do that. Right?
I mean,
me too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess it made sense, right? And it's always been a competitive market, Chicago. Mm-hmm. There's beer from all across the country, all across the world here. We're right in the middle of the country, so it's kind of easy to get beer from everywhere in comparison to other towns.
Yeah.
Know? So if you see that, right, and you see how competitive it is, and all these outsiders are coming in, you know, it's like, hey, I make a killer IPA. I can get this shit cracking for the six blocks surrounding me. I can do this. There's an old movie theater right here. Let's fucking go. Right?
Maybe it was also the amount of the space and buildings, the people, buildings, you want to say gentrification or just like.
It's not like, I use Detroit as the example all the time, how people in Detroit for a long time, and it's different now because, you know, the basketball team and the football team all play downtown now. But at one point, you know, Detroit was under like 200,000 people. It was a town of 1 million, dropped to 200,000 because people fled for the burbs. When, you know, in the early 2000s, I go to a Pistons game. The Pistons played in Auburn Hills. It's 40 miles away. Imagine the Bulls playing in fucking Lake Forest or some shit.
Right, yeah.
Like, you know, but so the point is like neighborhoods in Chicago never got like that. Neighborhoods were always changing. And
they kind of
just constantly like, evolving. So with that, new businesses in general, beer's going to be part of that.
Yeah, people may talk about people leaving Chicago all the time, but there's people coming back all the time and people that love to support their neighborhood.
So
yeah, that's an interesting thought. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was good. That was a good talk, though. Mm-hmm.
But you bring up those breweries, and one that you mentioned was Forbidden Root.
Oh yeah, man.
Five. Fucking years. No way. No way.
I am thoroughly surprised by this, man. I was flipping through my February picks, and I just do an all-time February, you know, scroll. And I saw that it was today that they had their ribbon-cutting ceremony at Forbidden Root, you know? So that kind of caught me off guard. Forbidden Root is on Chicago Ave. And apparently, you know, it was one of those spots where they weren't giving out additional liquor licenses on that block of Chicago Ave. Mm-hmm. So Chicago and Damon, right across the street from a killer boot shop, that's where I get all my boots from. East Village. Oh, but yeah, they lifted the moratorium. And yeah, I'm kind of surprised that it's been 5 years already. Randy Mosier, who was on, well, we all know Randy Mosier.
Yeah.
He was the alchemist of that project. And that their brewmaster was the rootmaster. We did the show there.
Yeah, I know. That was a good show.
2018. That was a really fun show. Yeah.
They have an amazing burger still. Their new Canada line design is, you know, subpar in my opinion. But Zoller, I've seen, say he likes it. So.
Oh, that's the one with it's a circle. And in the circle, there's an F and an R underneath it.
Yeah, it could basically say beer. I took some clip art and searched beer. But they make really good and interesting beer.
Yeah.
They're in a place that has a 13% rose.
Oh, dude.
Rosa?
Not yeah, Rosa. No, it's like a rose ale.
Sparkling.
It's like a sparkling rosé beer.
Rosé. Yeah. I was like, have Rosa on my mind. Because
it's your all-time fave. Just own it, Brad. It's okay.
Yeah, maybe that's what people think they're getting. Rosé.
It's rosé.
Rosé. Yeah. They're like, oh, this is going to be rosé. It's not.
You know, if Rosa suddenly just went through a remix and next year the shit was 13%, it tasted just like that Forbidden Root fucking sparkling rosé.
Okay.
I think we're back. I think Rosa is back at that point.
That'd be like big, big Rosa.
Yeah, I remember going to this movie theater, and it was the Westtown Chamber of Commerce, and they had this public meeting. And, you know, everyone who was there was passionate about having their own brewery. And you know, there were proponents there, you know, neighborhood members saying, oh, that beer is going to create this smell and it's going to stink around here and there's going to be traffic and it's going to suck. And I remember it was a dead winter. And I remember Pipeworks, the guys were there, you know, BJ was there. And he's like, yeah, we call that smell aroma, you know, and we built ours in the neighborhood because they were in Wicker Park.
Yeah.
And they were there, you know, front and center, just kind of like opposing whatever the townspeople were saying.
Listen up, bold townspeople. Come in with our rock music.
You know, they were on the side of the brewer and on the side of, you know, expanding the beer footprint, local beer footprint. So it was cool.
Nice.
Yeah, cheers to them. And now they're out of state. I think they opened their second spot in, what, Columbus or something?
Columbus, yeah.
Yeah. So that happened this week. Goose announced they got 3 new beers coming out this week.
Oh, okay. What do they got?
One of them's a can, 19.2-ounce can. Tropical. Let me pull it up.
So it's like, Fist City comes in that size can, right?
Yeah, and Dale's Pale Ale.
Oh, okay.
So it's taller. It's the taller than the Tall Boy.
It's a funny format. I don't know if I've ever, unless I was getting like a malt beverage.
Oh, like the old school paper, brown paper bag?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had. I've never had a Big Dale's or a Big Fist City.
Yeah, I feel like that's a commuter train.
Yeah.
From the city to the burbs.
I guess if you're like tailgating, maybe?
We're tailgating. Okay. Yeah. So, 3 beers coming out of Clybourne.
Maybe tailgating's going to be big this summer as like stadium seating is limited. People are like, screw it. I'll stand in the parking lot and drink. Like, you're not going to let us in?
The vaccine's going around, you know? So Clybourne's got the 19.2-ounce can is called Tropical Beer Hug. So, it's a DDH DIPA. Tropical Beer Hug, that's the 19.2. Another one's called Outlier. That's another DDH IPA. So Outlier is going to have Sabro and Southern Passion hops, and that's a 9% beer. And then this third beer, which I think they were originally aiming for Valentine's Day, If You're a Bird, I'm a Bird, it's a collab with Phase 3.
A beer, I'm a Bird? What?
If You're a Bird, I'm a Bird. Oh, okay. Sorry, I said it all too fast.
I was like, who's a barometer?
Barometer?
Yeah.
No. It's a collaboration with Phase 3. It's a mixed two-pack, and it's called If You're a Bird, I'm a Bird.
So what's the mix? One's...
So they both got the same base, but the one of them is cocoa nibs and coconut, and the other one is cocoa nibs and strawberry.
Oh, okay.
So the goose one is the strawberry.
And that, Valentine's Day happens. So.
Yeah. So this is a mixed two-pack.
And is it out?
No.
Not yet?
This is supposed to be Friday the 19th.
Oh.
Yeah.
This Friday.
No.
Okay.
So it's for your winter blues, man. So the first thing I wanted to know was is this a barrel-aged beer? What's going on? And they're like, nah. And I'm like, if this is not a barrel-aged beer, has Goose ever made a barrel-aged stout and canned it? And they were like, Big John.
Well. Big John was canned?
I mean, released. Sorry, just packaged is what I meant to say.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Yeah, because Big John was Bombers. That was a bomb.
Yeah.
When Bombers ruled the earth.
Yeah.
Those were the pre-cans.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if is this a test? Maybe we'll see. When do you think we'll see Bourbon County in cans? That's too...
Oh, and Night Stalker. Yeah.
That's too... I don't think they would do it, right? I was just wondering if we will see... Bourbon County and cans ever.
You know, Bourbon County and cans, and then Bourbon County just not all on Black Friday, you know, because Rev's not giving you beers all in one day, and that's their stiffest competition. And, I mean, Rev's kind of getting in that ass with regards to barrel-aged dominance in this town, you know. And I think some of that, not all of it, but some of that's got to do with the way they roll it out.
Well,
it's like a series on TV, right? Like if all those episodes come out on one day, you're not going to talk about it as much as if you talk about, you know, fucking WandaVision, right? Like it's every week. So.
Well, that Phase 3 Goose collaboration is going to sell fast.
Yeah, that'll be gone quick. So I think what I asked specifically was, is this a barrel-aged beer? And if not, is it a barrel-aged, non-barrel-aged version of Bourbon County style? That was the question.
And they said no.
They said no. They said, Night Stalker and Big John are not the same base beers BCS.
Yeah.
And Night Stalker and Big John were the other non-barrel-aged stouts that they packaged before and now. So this is not
They're like, stop comparing everything to Bourbon County Stout. Just because it's a Goose Island Stout doesn't mean it has anything to do with Bourbon County. Stop it.
I mean, but come on. It can't just be me, right? I hear Goose and Stout. That's the first thing I think of. I can't. That can't just be me. So, but that was the answer. They were like, God damn it, no.
No, stop it. Cool. All right. Anything else before we get out of here? I want to like finish my punchkis.
I'm down
so
one.
Like, we need to like wrap this up.
Yeah. Oh man, the former vice president at Three Floyds died. Barnaby Strobe. He was Struve, if I'm pronouncing
Barnaby?
That right. Barnaby. Oh, yeah. First name Barnaby, last name Struve. So he was VP at Floyd's, and then he left like 3 years. I want to say like 3-4 years ago now. But yeah, I think. In the Floyd's universe, they're all like super private dudes, but he was the one that would like, you know, give quotes for interviews, and he'd be the one that like, you know, if they had a beer dinner.
Yeah, we interviewed Barnaby on the Hopcast.
Yeah, it was Lincoln or Barnaby.
Oh, it was Link. We interviewed Lincoln.
Yeah,
sorry,
but those were the guys. Like Nick Floyd wasn't really available for that shit.
Yeah.
So, and even the head brewer at the time, his name was Chris Bodges, the guy that came from like AB or something. Those guys would never do those things, but Lincoln and Barnaby would do those things. They were kind of like a customer-facing portion of the operation, if you will.
Okay.
Yeah. And he passed this week, apparently.
Damn.
So,
that sucks.
So, safe travels to him.
And then, Brian Baru. We talked about it last time, but I got to look for that.
I'd love to have some Brian Baru.
Yeah. Well, all right. I'm going to finish my punch keys.
Right on.
And we're going to get out of here. Where can people find you, get in touch when we're not here?
Yeah, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We're trying to post Instagram every day, but it's tough. It's tough when you just can't go anywhere. You
the closest we can get is almost.
Almost every other day? I think we're almost every other day about. Yeah. So yeah, check us out there. Look for some sexy beer porn, right? So.
Hell yeah, #beer porn.
And we'll be back soon with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.